Welcome to the Poor Chasing Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 10th of December, and I'm recording at 11:21 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time here in soggy London. Okay, now, stock markets, well, still very nervous in here, and that's been the case all week and more, to be accurate. India bucked the trend with a gain from a previous support level, but it had given up ground like all the others prior to today. Japan was down again over 1%, and China was disappointing because it had started with gains early this morning, but they faded in here, and that's pretty much it. Mostly red in the Asia Pacific region. Now, we also have weakness pretty much across the boards in the European stock markets. Now, there's not much in the way of significant declines in Europe today, but again, they're soft and they're down near or even a little below those mid November lows, which were a support level that's certainly being challenged in here, suggesting that we're going to see further reaction and consolidation during the rest of this year. Now, Wall Street did better, but it gave up most of its gains. The Dow was up 200 points at one stage, but it only closed up 82 points. So that's just under 0.5%. The S&P was up a little less at under 0.25%. And the NASDAQ composite was a little firmer, up 0.44%. Now, what's worrying stock markets so much, again, is these, as we have seasonal factors which are favorable. We also have accommodative monetary policy generally. Well, there's certainly nervousness about what's actually going to happen following the Fed rate hike and how many more rate hikes there are going to be. People are worrying about that side of it. And not having had a rate hike since 2006, it's understandable perhaps that they're a little apprehensive, even though this has been the most widely expected rate hike that we've had in, well, I can't remember when it was so widely expected, or lost so widely expected. So a little nervousness there. Also, the stock market investors are looking nervously at what's going on in commodities. So they're almost in lockstep here. And with just a generally bearish overall sentiment. And there, within Europe, of course, there are specific concerns. The so-called refugee or migrant crisis, these vast numbers, where are they going? This is a NIMBY issue. People are not so thrilled with being weighed down by thousands and thousands of refugees. So there's a little resistance there, which is really shaking the EU's fragile stability even further. Will it survive this crisis? Well, we'll see, but it's certainly doing plenty of damage. Now, let's see what else has happened in here today. Government bonds, U.S. 10-year, just edged upwards a tiny bit, but it's still quite low at 2.23%. The VIX eased a fraction, 19.34, and that's still a nervous level overall. Looking at the dollar index today, it's firmer. Currently at 97.939, That's really regained at least 60% of yesterday's second downward dynamic. And remember, we had that big downside key day reversal off the high, just above the 100 level, and so an upside failure, which was good news for the Fed, good news for people who had borrowed U.S. dollars at lower levels as well. So that's a favorable factor, but people aren't thinking about that in here right now. As I say, they're worried about the factors I was mentioning a moment ago, and none more important than the commodity market declines, which I'll talk about further in just a second. But looking at these other currencies here, the euro slipped a bit further to 1.0946 against the dollar, and sterling eased just a little bit to 1.5159 here today. The Chinese renminbi, that has certainly weakened, and it's down testing its August low. I think it's been 5 days on the trot. This is a slow motion controlled devaluation of the Chinese currency. It's back on a previous low. Will they carry it beyond that? Well, we'll soon see, but it would take an upward dynamic to indicate at least temporary support near that August low against the US dollar. Now, getting back to these currency markets, I beg your pardon, these commodity markets. The CCI index, that's the continuous commodity index, that's hitting another new low in here. The big one, or the biggest of the big ones, crude oil. The Brent crude is, well, the close here today was $39.73. That's down 38 cents, another new closing low. And it's been down 10 out of the last 11 days. So that's really persistent selling pressure taking place. And the WTI is at $36.63. That's down 53 cents here today. Now, the fascinating situation here with crude oil is that normally, when this would happen, you would expect, well, a global recession. I don't think that's on the cards, although economies are soft. There's no mistaking that. But this is essentially just a supply issue, this massive supply of crude oil that is being pumped out. And what is not recessionary is the fact that demand for crude oil has picked up quite sharply in the last few months, but not sufficiently to offset this huge production increase. Now, there's some rumors that the Saudis have started to pin back their production maybe by 250,000 barrels a day. Although certainly they haven't announced this, but that's a rumor in the marketplace. And there's also talk that there are discussions underway to try to bring in some non-OPEC producers to deal with production cutbacks in the near future. But OPEC has a weak hand, and the Saudis have not gained favor with anybody here recently following their decision to increase production some months ago. So this is just a continued bearish story, but we're in a climactic phase, I would say. So I think we're really quite close to a low, and there are a lot of shorts in the market. and they're living dangerously, to put it mildly. Sure, if you're seeing it go down every day, then it feels fine, and probably most of them have stops in the market. But when you get a climactic action of this nature, it can only go on falling at this rate for just a little bit longer, and then we're likely to see really quite a sharp rebound, and triggering some of those stops. So I would say that the possibility of a significant rebound is within weeks rather than months, let alone some of the forecasts that we've been getting from analysts in recent months saying, well, oil isn't going to pick up until 2017. I think that's much too bearish. And we're certainly approaching at least a significant technical rebound, and it might well be off a climactic, a significant climactic low. Now, metal prices really doing a little bit of, well, the same thing, more or less, in terms of what we're actually seeing in oil. It's a supply problem, and we're not getting enough cutbacks just yet. I noticed that the Chileans are refusing to cut any of their copper production here overall. So in every commodity cycle, when prices are very depressed, it's hurting everyone, and there is an attitude that, well, we going to hold our ground as long as we actually can, hope that somebody else closes down production so that we don't have to. That's the mentality behind it. That's understandable, and that leads to some Pyrrhic victories after further loss of revenue as the overall decline is extended. But demand for metals is also picking up, and I've seen some stats saying that China has been increasing its imports over the last few months. Not hugely, but it certainly is. Demand is increasing in line with low prices, and that's hardly surprising. That's an inevitable reaction. But again, the production is still too high. But I think that well, the old adage on this is that these markets are being sold into a bag. In other words, they're getting very close to levels that can lead to some significant rebounds. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.